Right, amen. Well, it's great to be back again this evening. And again, I just want to thank you guys for your hospitality and for putting up with me. So it's always a blessing, right? Always a blessing. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, the great tongues chapter in the Bible. This evening, the title of my sermon is Speaking in Dung. Speaking in Dung. And that's pretty much what goes on in today's day and age, okay? They don't speak in tongues, they speak in dung. Now, I know there's several people here that speak in tongues, and that's great, and use that properly, but as you're going to see, tongues are languages, okay? Now, every 12 to 18 months, I go on a charismatic rampage, okay? And I'm serious, and it's time. I started this last Wednesday at our church, and I'm just going to keep it going because it's just something that's personal to me, and I like to do it. I can't stand this stuff, and it's my own fault. You know, as I was growing up and going through the church circuits, you know, I unfortunately stumbled into some churches that were Pentecostal in nature. But they would always say, you know, well, we're not Pentecostals. You know, the Spirit just falls on us and all these things manifest and happen. And, you know, as a guy that's just reading books about the Bible, not actually reading the Bible itself, you know, I knew in the Spirit that the things they were saying and doing were wrong. I just couldn't prove it. And so finally I wound up going, you know, back to the Independent Fundamental Baptist churches, where I got saved when I was younger, started getting taught the truth, and I've made it a point to always make sure, like I said, 12 to 18 months, pick something and just go crazy on it because I think it's necessary. So you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Keep your place there, but go to Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13. And I want to give you a reason why, an additional reason why I'm going to be preaching this evening. It's Mark chapter number 13. If you look at verse number 4, Mark 13, look at verse number 4. Look what the disciples say here to Jesus. They say, tell us, verse number 4, tell us when shall these things be, and when shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled. So they ask this question here, when is the end times going to happen? What are some things that we can look out for when the end times are approaching? Jump down to verse number 22, and Jesus says this, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And so after reading that verse there, you know, and after studying this for, you know, many years now, I think it's safe to say that as we get closer to the time of the Antichrist, that the whole charismatic signs and wonders will begin to play a part. Will speaking in tongues and things like that, I don't know. But it typically follows those who claim to have the gifts of healing and these people that claim, well, we have real apostles in our church, you know, today, things of that nature. But either way, it's good to be aware of these things, these signs, and to honestly prove whether these things be so. You know, we're called to test the spirits. They say they have a spirit, so that's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to test and see if what they have is genuine. Is it true? Now, if you're not familiar with the charismatic circles, basically what they teach, and it can kind of vary depending on which group you go to, but they'll say that speaking in tongues is a heavenly prayer language. Okay? And they'll say, well, it's basically a language that God gives you, which, by the way, is evidence of salvation. And then they'll say, it's a language that only you, your spirit, and God know, and the devil can't hear it. The devil can't hear it, so he can't interfere with your prayer life. So right off the bat, right, you know they're giving the devil way too much credit. They're saying that the devil's all-knowing or omnipresent. I'll give him credit. He's quick. Okay, he's obviously quick. He's obviously going around and checking things out. I understand that. We get that. But to say that he can be present in every single one of our prayer lives, I think, is definitely an extreme. So just logically, that doesn't make sense. And the one, of course, that bothers me, I'm sure it bothers everybody in here, is that they'll teach that this is evidence of salvation. Okay? And like I talked about this morning, they don't preach salvation. Has anybody in here ever been or met a charismatic or been to a charismatic Pentecostal church that teaches salvation? No, they put you right on probation. Every time, it's all about works. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. Now, this evening, We're just going to do a quick overview of tongues, what they are, and the purpose. And then I'm just going to give you 10 auditable things. Okay, we're just going to assume someone's come up to you, someone's, you know, saying, hey, I go to this church. The Holy Ghost falls on our church. People speak in tongues. Okay, so without getting into the cessation of this, without getting into any of that, I'm going to give you 10 things that you can audit what they say, and I think it'll be a blessing. I think it'll be a help. Now, I know I had you go back to 1 Corinthians 14, but go to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Acts chapter 2. And let's just see what are tongues. When the Bible says tongues, what is that in reference to? Well, if you were to read through the book of Genesis, you would definitely see that it's languages. You know, you'd see that in Genesis chapter 10 very clearly, that they are languages. You're going to see the same thing here in Acts chapter number 2. In fact, look at verse number 4. Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so this is one of the many verses that they'll try and twist and say, well, see, he gives you an utterance. It's not like a known language. It's unknown, and it's just like these sounds that come out of your mouth. It's just, and if you've ever been to a charismatic church, one of the things I always thought was weird is that they'll use the NIV or they'll use, you know, some other modern version of the Bible, and then somebody will get up and just, just start convulsing, like that. And then another person will pop up and claim to interpret or claim to translate it. And they always will say this, "Thus saith the Lord," right? Then they get all King James on you. It's like, wait a second here, man. This doesn't work like that. Something's not right here. Okay? But let's keep reading. Verse 5. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Very clear there. Jews from all over the world. Obviously, they speak different languages. Verse 6. "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own" what? "Language." Amen. So what are tongues? They are languages. From Genesis to Revelation, they are languages, okay? Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's see what was the purpose of tongues. What was the purpose of this sign that God had given the early church? What was the whole point of this? Because it is supernatural. It is from God. It is a miracle, but it has a purpose. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse number 22. So Paul telling the Corinthians this, he says, "Wherefore," so he's coming to a conclusion here, he says, "Wherefore tongues," meaning what? "Languages are for a sign." Okay, they were for a sign. "Not to them that believe." Okay, not to them that believe. Do these people ever just go around door to door and just start speaking in their gibberish to people? No, they don't do that. They only do it inside their own church services. So they're already in violation. Okay, so, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." Now, what group is he referring to here? The Jew, okay? "But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." So he's saying that prophesying or preaching the word of God, forthtelling, taking what is written, taking what God has given us and expounding it and teaching it, that is what edifies the church. That is what the focus should be. And he's letting the Corinthians know, if there are people that have this gift during this time, he's basically saying, understand it's for a sign, and that sign is to be for the Jew. Remember, the Jew requires a sign, whereas the Greek seeks after wisdom. So, let's get into this now, okay? Right off the bat here, I'm just going to give you the first one right out of the gate, okay? Let's just assume that speaking in tongues, what these people say is legitimately happening. When would it violate Scripture? And of course, we don't want to violate Scripture. That's terrible. That's bad. Even they would tell you that is bad. Okay, so when would it violate Scripture? And I'm going to submit to you when it's taught that it's a heavenly prayer language. Okay, you say, well, what's a good reference? Okay, well, you've got Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. That's the reference. The whole book. Show me. Show me a chapter, give me chapter, give me verse of a heavenly prayer language that it's just God and you talking and the devil can't hear. Okay, that's what I want to know. So that's the easiest one, in my opinion. Okay, show me that one. There's no mention anywhere in the Bible of any such thing at all. It doesn't exist. It's made up. It's a hoax. It's a lie. It is straight dung. It is trash. Okay, now let's look at number two. So look at verse number 23. Verse number 23. Says this. So Paul says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, meaning languages, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Meaning ye are crazy, y'all are nuts, out of your minds? Pentecostal? Now skip down to verse 27. Here it is. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, meaning one at a time, and let one interpret. So what does this mean here? Well, if what they say is true, they speak in tongues, when would it violate Scripture? Number one, I said that if it's taught, it's a heavenly prayer language. It does not exist. Number two is when more than three speak during any given church service. You got more than three that speak in an unknown tongue. And I had somebody try to get slick on me and say, hey, well, that means you can't have men's preaching night. I'm like, whoa, no, that's a known language. Okay, he says unknown in verse 27. Okay, so if you've got these people that have this gift and more than three speak in an unknown tongue during that service, they are in violation of Scripture. It is wrong. It is bad. God is not happy with that. Now, has anybody in here ever just seen a YouTube video of a Pentecostal service? Okay, there you go. Okay, I mean, check. And I've got eight more of these. Got eight more of these. But, you know, if you look back up here at verse 23, again, he says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, okay, will they not say that you're mad? Why is that in the Bible? Why is that there? Because Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is telling you and telling people that, hey, people are going to think you're nuts, they're going to think you're crazy, and you're going to lose them. And so today, what do we have? We have entire congregations of lost, mad, crazy people. And unbelievers go in there, and they witness this stuff, and they're like, this is crazy, and they get a bad taste in their mouth, and they think all Christians are like that, and it just keeps snowballing, and it's just one more tool that the devil has that we have to combat and that we have to fight with. So again, number two, when does speaking in tongues violate Scripture? When more than three speak during any given church service. And a lot of times people be like, oh, I can't believe you said that. That's what this says. Our job is to try the spirits. How do we do that? With the Word of God, with the Bible. That is the only way that we can do this. So let's move on to number three. Jump down to verse number 34. Verse number 34. And this one here will get you kicked off YouTube, banned, gets people triggered. But it is what it is. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Okay, now that's during the church service. He's not talking about before or after. People get mad at us all the time because of this, and they're saying, well, that was just for Paul's day because that was the law of the land. No, that doesn't fly. Look at the verse closely. Look at the last part of the verse. As also saith the law. As it was in the Old Testament, so is it in the New Testament. And what I always tell these people, these feminist so-called Christians that get mad at us for this, I'm like, well, let's just take this church for an example. Okay, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of women here. There's more women preachers here than in any Pentecostal church, because you get the fine opportunity to go out and preach the gospel every single week. So don't tell me, oh, you're a chauvinist. I can't believe you would say that. That's what the Bible says. Okay, in the church service, women are not permitted to speak or to preach. So when does speaking in tongues violate Scripture? When women do the speaking. Okay, Paula White, Joyce Meyer. I mean, there's a whole host of Pentecostal women that are violating this all the time. And again, all you have to do is just go to YouTube real quick, Pentecostal Church Service, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Complete violation of Scripture. You know what that really means? That means these people are literally assaulting, violating the Word of God, literally attacking it by doing this and by saying that this is okay. I mean, this is crystal clear here. Look, you can only play the go back to the Greek so long before you just look really, really stupid. You know, like you need to go back to Mars. Go somewhere else here because that's just not going to cut it. Okay?
Amen.
So go to verse number 27 now. Let's move on here to number 4. So he says this, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. And again, he says, and that by course, let one interpret. Verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So number 4, when speaking in tongues would violate Scripture, is when the speaker interprets for himself. This happens all the time in Pentecostal churches. All the time. Where somebody will pop up and just do the convulsion thing, start trying to sound like they know Hebrew or like they know Greek, combine it with Chinese and Italian, and it's just this foreign language, this unknown tongue or whatever, and then they'll interpret it themselves. Thus saith the Lord, $10,000 is needed tonight. I know somebody has the money. That's usually what it's about. Now, I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I've mentioned this last time or what. Maybe some of you have heard it, but back in my days, when I was very, very ignorant, somebody told me that John Hagee was a Baptist. You know, I was in the military. I wasn't watching TV at the time. I didn't know. I was like, okay, cool. And we were in San Antonio at the time doing some training. I'm like, let's go check out Cornerstone Church. It's like, all right. So we go in there, and I sit down. Okay, I got there real early because on TV it looks like there's just thousands of people there. And get in there, I sit down. This guy taps me on the shoulder, and he's like, excuse me. I was like, what's going on? He's like, that's my seat. I was like, I got up, I looked at it, I'm like, doesn't have your name on it. And he's like, well, I have to sit there. And trust me, buddy, you'll see why. Okay? Now, keep in mind, I'm in the military here. I don't like people telling me what to do. And I'm looking at his collar, and I'm like, you don't have any rank. And I'm definitely not going to take orders from a civilian. Like, that's my thought here. I'm like, I'm about to go to jail. I mean, I was having some bad thoughts. I'm like, this is going to go down. And I just figured, you know what? All right, I'll move. So I got up and I moved. I just stared at him the whole time. I mean, I hopped right in the flesh. I was carnal. It was bad. So I just move a couple rows over. End of the service, John Hagee's son comes out and starts convulsing on stage after they shut the cameras off. And I'm like, no. What is this? This is after I was already starting to figure out that this stuff was just trash. He didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, he's supposed to be a Baptist. He's using the key. Like, what's going on here? And he starts convulsing. And then that guy who tapped me on the shoulder pops up. And thus saith the Lord. And it was all about money. All about money. Just you need to give this much and this much. And God's mad at this church in 2002. And there's going to be all kinds of problems if we don't get more money. And I was like, oh, man, what a heartbreaking thing. This isn't a Baptist church. It's a Pentecostal church. It's ignorant. It's stupid. But, that situation, they would say, well, we had an interpreter, okay? But I guarantee you there's times where they do that stuff and people just interpret their own tongues or whatever. The point is, it's a violation of Scripture, okay? Amen. And honestly, what that guy was doing, he was speaking in dung. And I'll never forget his words. He's like, you're going to see later, buddy. You're going to see later why I have to sit there. You know why he had to sit there? Because he was right in front of Hagee's son. And they could kind of give each other the nods and, do this kind of thing and, well, this is where you go, and this is where I say this. They had it all planned out. It was pre-staged. It was choreographed, in my opinion, just straight a lie. But I'm thankful I went through that because then I could just tell the story every year, and yeah, it works out. So let's move on to number 5. Look down at verse number 28 again. He says, verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So again, number five here. So number four was when the speaker interprets for himself. Number five, very similar, when there is no interpreter. Okay, when there is no interpreter, you would be in violation of Scripture. Now, why is that? Well, because the Bible says that prophecy is of no private interpretation. They didn't have the completed revelation of the New Testament as this was being given, and so this was a safety built in so that they could have some checks and balances. Look down now, let's move on to number six, at verse number 33. Let's look at point number six, verse 33. So Paul says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And I mean, you could preach that for days. Because isn't it a confusing thing when you use one version of the Bible and you say, but this one translates it like this, and this one says this, and when you combine them, you have what I want to say, which is this. Okay, I got this magic potion Bible interpretation program going on here. Hey, that's confusing though. Because everybody deep down inside should logically think, you know, if God is real, if he's omnipresent, if he's everywhere, all-knowing, if he spoke everything into existence, he's got to have the power to preserve his word. Amen. Okay, but then they keep going to these churches and they keep telling them, no, that's not how it is. We need to rely on man and his gifts. See, this stuff just always goes back to man. Okay, the religion of human achievement. It puts man up here, God down here. They're all, you know, these Pentecostal churches are Catholic. They're Catholic because they're literally saying you need us to interpret the Bible for you. You need us to give you truth. You can't just go get it on your own. It's the same thing that the Catholic Church, look, they're all the same. So jump down to verse number 40. He says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Now show me a Pentecostal church that does that. Okay, not happening. So number six, okay, when would speaking in tongues violate Scripture? When there is confusion. When there is confusion, or when it results in things being done not decently and not in order, it would violate Scripture. I haven't really been talking up here that long, and we're already up to number six. It's not looking too good for the charismatic. But every time I do this, I always get an email or a phone call, and it's just like, what's wrong with me believing in tongues anyways? I don't know. Believe whatever you want then. Believe in aliens, believe in flat earth, believe in all this stuff. Just go ahead and do it. You know, or hey, what's wrong with me using the Bible to prove your theory wrong? Well, it's offensive and it's rude. And you're dividing the body of Christ. That's what they always say. You're dividing the body of Christ. You're not even in the family. You know, you're not even in the family. Don't even give me that. No, I'm not going to play that. Okay, so number six, when there is confusion. So let's look at number seven here, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. It says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Okay, this is a big one. Because when you talk to these guys and you say, describe for me the experience that you have. They'll say, okay, brother, well, you know, as the music's going and I'm in the spirit and I'm praying and I'm just... Oh, you mean when you're getting worked up? When you're getting worked up, okay, keep going, continue. They say, well, something comes over me and I just can't control it and it just comes out and it just happens. And you can't control it. That's what they all say, right? It's just like God's just taking me over. Verse 32, when the Spirit, it says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." So number seven is when self-control is lost. Speaking in tongues violates Scripture when self-control is lost. So we haven't even gotten into it. I'm not going to have time tonight to get into the fact that these things ceased. But you say they're real. If you say that your church is legit and this is really going on, well, unfortunately, I've got seven violations on you already. When self-control is lost, you have violated the Scripture. So hopefully by the time we get to number 10, you're going to see, like, this is pretty bad. This is really bad. This is terrible. This is a horrible attack on the Word of God, if you ask me. That is my opinion. That is how I view this, and hopefully you all the same. So let's look at number 8. Keep your place in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to go to Revelation 22, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 1. But go to Revelation 22. And let's take a look here at number 8. So number one, I said that speaking in tongues violates scripture when it's taught that it is a heavenly prayer language. Doesn't exist, nowhere to be found in the Bible. And then I said number two is when more than three speak during the church service, or if they're not going in turn, okay, because it says by course, meaning one at a time. Number three, when women do the speaking. Number four, when the speaker interprets for himself. Number five, when there is no interpreter. Number six, when there is confusion. Number seven, when self-control is lost. When someone says, I've lost control of my own volition, my own will has just been taken over. Okay? They are in violation of Scripture. So let's figure out number eight here. Revelation 22, look at verse number 18. So the Bible says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, by this book, he does mean the book of Revelation. But the question I have, because sometimes I'll give this to Pentecostal people and they'll say, but that's just Revelation. It's like, think about it. Do you think God would be okay with you just not tampering with Revelation, but okay with tampering with the rest of the Bible? No. You can still apply this to the entire Word of God, okay? So, again, this is how God feels about people that would say, I would like to add this to the Bible, Doctrine and Covenants, Book of Mormon, you know, all these other, you know, trash books that are out there, okay? Or subtract, take it away, okay? And again, this definitely applies to a lot of these Bible translators that are out there today, these self-proclaimed gurus. But number eight, I'm going to say, is when it results in new revelation. Speaking in tongues would violate Scripture when it results in new revelation, and it always does in these churches. That is how they get their coffers full. That's how they get their money, by and large, by intimidation and scaring people into giving, okay? So number eight is when it results in new revelation. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll just kind of back this up a little bit with a couple verses in the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter number 1, look at verse number 1. So the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Notice that language there, spake in time past. Okay, so in the Old Testament, he's saying, back then, in sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Again, look at that word there, spoken, one and done. Spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You say, what in the world are you talking about here? Well, again, when it's taught, when speaking in tongues is taught, that it brings new revelation. And it always does. You're in violation of Scripture here, because these people always say, well, you know, I was over here and Jesus spoke to me. I audibly heard his voice. And it's always something maybe similar, but it's always something new. You know, he told me to get off this, or to stop doing this, or stop doing that. It's like you couldn't figure that out from the Bible, because that's pretty much what the writer of Hebrews here is saying. Right? Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus is the Word of God. I mean, John chapter 1, verse 1. This is basic stuff here. You see the point? These guys don't even understand the most fundamental basic doctrines of the Bible. They can't even get through John chapter 1. You can't even get through the first book of the Bible, which tells you very clearly what tongues are. Their great chapter, you know, that they like to claim and lay hold on. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 authorizes, it gives me the right to speak in tongues, and you can't take it away. You're not God. And God could do whatever he wants. Yeah, God could turn you into a cheeseburger if he wanted to. Does that make sense? Do you think he's going to? No. these things. And he tells you were for a sign. He had a purpose in administering these gifts. But back to this verse here, Hebrews 1 and 2, it is very clear, okay, that the way that God used to communicate to the fathers in times past, that was for then. But now, in our day and age, he says, hath in these last days, are we not in the last days? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Spoken, not speaking. It doesn't say, hath in these last days chose people whom he is speaking to and will continue to do this throughout until he comes back. No, that's not what it says. It is past tense. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also the worlds are made. So number 8 is when it results in new revelations, and of course it always does. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 28 again. Or not again. This is the first time I've been here. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 28. It says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, some different languages. You know, God has people that can preach the gospel in all these different languages. Okay, verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Okay, and that's another one that gets these guys. Like, where's your workers of miracles then? Well, the real miracles always take place in Africa, don't they? That's what they do. Nope, there was a guy in Africa, and he was proven to have been who levitated. I've seen it on YouTube. Yeah, it's always down there. You know, there's been numerous people that have faked, you know, resurrections and things of that nature, and it's always been proven false after a period of time. But unfortunately, the gullibility of these people is sad, and it's tragic in my opinion. Look at verse 30. He says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So number 9 is when everyone is exhorted to seek the gift of tongues. Okay, that is a violation of Scripture. There are books written by these false prophets out there that teach you how to speak in tongues. Okay, there's like a process that they have, and do this, and read this, and meditate this long, and pray this prayer, and you'll do it. You just got to try it. It's right there, you know. You got to try it. You just got to keep breathing heavy, and you know, it's really bizarre if you go look this stuff up, how they try to teach people this gift. And obviously, this goes back to another thing that they tell people, is that this is evidence of salvation. It's evidence of stupidity. Ignorance is what it is.
Amen.
Okay, so again, number 9, when everyone is exhorted to seek the gift of tongues. Very clearly, verse 30, have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You know that dreadlock guy, Todd White. Who knows who Todd White is? Yeah, you guys know who Todd White is. The guy's a super clown. He looks like the Predator, like the friendly version of the Predator. He looks like a 2023 day the version of a Predator. And he is a Predator, okay? He's a predator, in my opinion. But you know, what does he do? He goes around, he watches videos of him. I perceive that you have a migraine. Yeah, it's always a migraine. I perceive you have a twinge in your knee because you just saw the person walk around the corner and kind of grab their knee. You know, it's never going down to the morgue, okay? See, here's what I want to see. I want to see them going down to the morgue and issuing out rebirth certificates. This person, birth certificate, death certificate, and you raise that guy back to life. That's what I want to see. I want to see the rebirth certificate. No such thing, right? Why aren't they hanging out down there? Why aren't they going to the hospitals? Because they're frauds. They are liars. They are charlatans. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. We'll move on to number 10. So look at verse number 4, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse number 4. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and again, unknown meaning unknown language, okay, unknown language. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So again, preaching in a language that everyone can understand, that edifies all of us. That edifies everyone. That edifies the church. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. Yeah, he's like, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesize. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Okay? So you have a guy that popped up and spoke in an unknown tongue. Okay? There was a requirement to have an interpreter, and he was to take what that guy said and explain it thoroughly so that everyone then could understand. Okay, so what do we see here? What's the key in both of these verses? Edification. Okay, I've always said this, and I was taught this a long time ago, that the church, our responsibility is to evangelize, to soul win, and to edify one another. Okay, that is, if we could just keep that in mind, I mean, it's unstoppable. Okay, edification, that is the point here. So number 10, and the final one that I have here, is speaking in tongues violates scripture when it doesn't edify the church. Hey, who's ever talked to a Pentecostal that said, I've been edified? They, all the time, they do. They're all, you know, just felt something warm take over me. Violation of scripture. You know, and it just, oh, it was just so powerful. What'd you learn? Oh, well, you know, just all kinds of things about Jesus in the Bible, you know, yeah. Really? Like what chapter? Like, what'd you guys talk about? Well, it was more of a spiritual movement that took place and just really, oh, just powerful, brother. You just got to see it. You just got to come check it out. You know, you're missing out. You Baptists are just missing out. You guys are like, you know, just stuck in the mud. You're just lame. It's like, no, we believe the Word of God. We believe the Bible. That is what we believe. That is the foundation. If you're not a fundamentalist, then you're nothing. I mean, that's just how it works. You're going to sink in the sand. It's straight trash. Now look at verse number 12. It says, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Preaching the word of God. Foretelling. Not foretelling. You have plenty of these clowns that say they can foretell. Oh, God told me this and I'm telling you directly. No. We foretell. We prophesy. We take what is written and we preach it. We talk about it. We edify that way. Look at verse 26. So verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, says, let all things be done unto edifying. Okay? We all know right out of the gate that a Pentecostal service where they're all just dancing in circles and running around and crying and flapping their arms like a bird. Okay? I'm sick of these. But anyways, I mean, that doesn't edify anyone. Hey, they're just glad they survived a night in this madhouse and they can come back. I mean, that's really what's going on. That's all that it is. Last but not least, go to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? In spirit and in truth. Meaning the church is made up of saved people. People that are indwelt by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? These people are missing both of those components. And they, without, some of them just, look, they're just on it. They're just caught in a snare. Okay? They're not horrible reprobates. Some of them are just confused. They just got brought to this church and they're friendly and they have family there. Maybe they grew up in it. They just don't know any better. Again, it's our job to try to get them out. It's our job to show them the truth. Maybe show them some of these things and say, look, these are 10 violations of the Bible. Don't you care about Jesus? Don't you care about the Word of God? You say you do. He said he is the Word of God. Take them to John chapter 1. Show them that. Make that connection. Because again, these people like to separate Jesus from the Bible. Because then they can build Jesus into who they want Jesus to be. Okay, and we can't let them do that. Never let somebody, be aware when people are trying to do that to you. And you bring them back. No, Jesus is the Bible. He is the Word of God. And what you're doing is not worshiping. You're not speaking in tongues. You're speaking in dung. That's harsh, but that's reality. That is what they are doing. It is straight dung. It is trash. It's not edifying. It's garbage. So let me just read these to you one more time. And I have these on our website, which our website's going to go down. It's like every other day, somebody's canceled us for something, but anyways, number one was speaking in tongues would violate scripture when it's taught to be a heavenly prayer language. Again, not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, doesn't exist. Number two, when more than three speak during any given church service, violation of scripture. Number three, when women do the speaking. Number four, when the speaker interprets for himself. Number five, when there is no interpreter. Number six, when it results in confusion, which it always does. Number seven, when self-control is lost. Oh, the Spirit made me do it. The Spirit just took over me, and I just had to say all of that stuff. I didn't even know what I was saying. Okay, that's not the Holy Spirit. Next would be number seven, when it results in new revelations. And again, most of the time it does. Okay, it's a new revelation, even if it's something seemingly small. Okay, it's new. You're saying that you got that directly from God outside of the Bible, violation. Number nine, when everyone is exhorted to seek the gift of tongues. And number 10, when it does not edify the church. Some of them will try to argue that with you and say that it does, but it doesn't. They're not teaching from the Bible. When they do that, it is to get extra revelation. That is their point. That is their whole reasoning for doing that. And so hopefully some of these things could be a help to you. If you know somebody that's a charismatic, I mean, it's not the biggest battle that we're fighting, but it, you know, could be at some point. And it's always good to be able to just hopefully just bring this stuff to light and wake somebody up. Nothing more that we love seeing than when somebody's caught up into that stuff and you got the answers. You can give it to them. They see it. The light bulb goes off. And that's just such a wonderful thing. And we need to keep it going. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church. I just pray that you bless this church. Bless the fellowship afterwards. Bring us back safely next week, Lord. And bless everything that we have going on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.